There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along. Another couple hours of live local talk, and you know how to get in touch, right? But if you don't, here we go. A phone number and the text line, the same. 343-0106. 343-0106. Also, you can leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. And interesting story there on the national news. I know it's been reported here locally. Mississippi, first oyster season in years and years and years. And let that be a reason for us here in Alabama to make sure we continue to take care and expand our oystering zones in South Mobile County, and I guess to some degree in South Baldwin County, but majority here in Mobile County. So good. I'm glad that they're getting back online. You know, Mississippi, it's kind of a weird thing, and there's other issues that led to their closure. But you think about the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and we've talked about in the past the amount of sand that we sold from here to Mississippi to redo their beaches. You know, their beaches, to some degree, I know there's some exceptions, but to some degree are artificial. A big strand of sand there on the Mississippi Gulf Coast where they took away what would be natural shoreline and made beach because people want to go to the beach, right? Our beaches are natural. There's a lot of times are been put in. Less places for oysters to be doing oyster stuff. So I don't know, but they're back open. That's good news. All right, coming up on today's show, Erica Thomas from 1819 News joins me. Also, hour number two, Caroline Dobson, of course, Republican nominee for AL2, joins me. And we'll talk more veterans and jobs for veterans with folks from Airbus later on in the 1 o'clock hour. So that's all coming up. And as we get started here, a couple things I want to run through. I guess this is the October surprise. I guess. I said this way back. They threw everything and the kitchen sink at Donald Trump, so I think they probably expended the arsenal for October surprises. Somebody who gets controversy daily, you know, what could they pull out in October that would be a big thing to, you know, undo Trump here days before the election? I tell you, I don't think this is it. I don't think, and I guess the next two stories here will be get your hearing aids tuned up, right? Those of you that have great hearing, good for you. Turn up the volume because we're going to be listening for dog whistles. Okay, this segment of the show called Listening for Dog Whistles. Everybody ready to listen? Remember your teacher to say, I know you hear, but do you listen? So let's listen. Pair of these stories, one from right here in AL2 and one, of course, nationally. The morning show talked about it. Jeff talked about it. It's Liz Cheney, right? It's Liz Cheney. And what Trump said about Liz Cheney, because the stories out there are saying that Trump calling for the assassination of Liz Cheney. Now, backstory this a little bit. What my tell here is, when the Cheneys go side with Harris, right, tells you something about their ideas for how the United States should operate in the world. The neocon's neocon, except for maybe the exception John Bolton, ranks higher in the list. Cheneys are about war. Former vice president and daughter Liz Cheney, about war. And maybe they come at it from a honest place where they feel like, listen, the world has to be directed by the United States. We have to get involved in all these conflicts to direct the realpolitik of the planet. Well, we've seen the outcome of those wars, and I don't know if y'all have checked places that our men and women served. hadn't changed a whole bunch. They hadn't become some kind of democracy, have they? But Cheney, you know, sides with Harris because Harris, just like Biden before, back to Hillary Clinton. Today's Democrats are the war hawks out there. So you've got this interview, and you've got Trump talking to Tucker Carlson. We'll play this clip. Play it in its, not full entirety, but, you know, we give it some context as opposed to the mainstream news. We'll play the clip and then give you the reaction as well. As they said that Trump is using violent rhetoric. I like this headline. This is an ABC headline. 2024 election updates. Trump uses violent rhetoric to attack war hawk Liz Cheney. Using violence to attack the war hawk. Let's play the clip. Go cut one.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, Will, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy. But she's a stupid person.
Okay. Let me go ahead and put myself on this wagon. I guess I'm just as guilty as Donald Trump, as I've said before about John Bolton, about his neocon policies. I've said, well, why didn't John Bolton lead that brigade right there at the front? It's all Donald Trump was doing, saying it was, I mean, you can listen to, you can be the biggest Kamala Harris supporter ever and listen to that clip. He did not suggest that somebody should shoot Liz Cheney. He's saying, hey, if you want to be tough and send other people's kids into war, what would it be like if you're the person facing those barrels? Nothing in that. You have to stretch so far to take something from that other than him making a comparison about neocons and war hawks. But, you know, over on CNN, they listen differently. They hear something that I don't.
I don't think you even need to call it fired upon. He's saying quite explicitly and unambiguously that Liz Cheney should be shot, should be executed by firing squad.
4 days out from Election Day, and former President Donald Trump is escalating his violent rhetoric, suggesting one of his most prominent critics, the former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, should be fired upon.
Your reaction to what Donald Trump said about Liz Cheney?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it was completely inappropriate, dangerous, and unbecoming of a leader. Mr. Trump was literally going after someone who doesn't agree with him. So it shouldn't be a surprise when people come on TV and feel the need to agree with him.
When he says nine barrels shooting at her, that obviously evokes images of a firing squad. It evokes images of an execution.
Let's execute a political opponent who happens to be a woman because I don't like her. And, like, does that pull more low propensity voters in his coalition to the polls? I honestly don't think so.
We have a few choices here. I'd like to hear from you. Either these people are absolutely that stupid, right, that they would say what they said. They are, maybe next choice, so in, they believe, and this is one thing too, if they thought that this would be an October surprise that got their candidate, Vice President Harris, across the finish line, maybe that's why they do it. They do anything to get her to win. But if they believe that coming up with this cockamamie idea that Donald Trump is calling for the execution of Liz Cheney, if they think that's going to make the difference, come on. Or they're aware that they're doing it. And when they hit the showers there at CNN, they got a locker room or something, hit the showers, they scrub themselves, not even with a loofah, with a Brillo pad to get the ick off them. If this is the best they can come up with, that Trump is calling for the assassination of Liz, what, by another army? So to work out this logic, so Trump is calling for a conflict to arise that has another army, and then Liz Cheney is going to be at the front of that the U.S. military, where the barrels will be pointed at her. comes up too often, but the movie Idiocracy has gone from being an entertainment vessel back then to being the Nostradamus of our day. All right, come back, get your calls and texts on this and a whole lot more. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Holidays coming faster. Every year, things seem to move faster, don't they? Holidays will be here soon. You got junk around the house you need to get cleaned up. You need my man Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It could be in the house or truly around the house. Big stuff. Swing sets, storage buildings you don't want anymore, you're doing a rework in the backyard, whatever it is, they can handle the big things as well. And they can do it for your house, for your office, a storage unit you need cleaned out, whatever. You need the junk gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey's my buddy, he's been doing it for a long time here, and to the satisfaction of many, 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 many folks in Baldwin County and Mobile County. Like I've said, you can take my word for it, which is a pretty good word, I'm telling you. I've used him personally, used him with this radio station. But also, go look at the Google reviews. People that enjoyed the service so much that they went online to say, this was good. I like this a whole bunch. Check those out as well. And get your appointment made by going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or calling them. The phone number is the name. The name is the phone number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And get that appointment set and get that junk gone in your life. 1-800-GOT-JUNK and 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. A couple texts here. Let me get those, and I want to get on to this next story, too. And then Erica Thomas joins us here in about 12 minutes or so. Terry said the Dems are worried about Michigan. I have a friend who works for a very liberal community action organization in another state, and all paid employees in her organization and other organizations are being sent to Detroit, Pontiac, and Flint to get out the vote. Yeah, well, the same thing happens. They move assets, right? Republicans from Alabama move to Georgia because Alabama is a sure thing for Trump, but they move them to Georgia. Let's see. Sean says, add Lindsey to that list. Yeah, that's right. Believe me, the Lindsey Graham, if I'm, you know, getting my neocon list, Sean, you know he's on there. Mark in West Mobile. It's so refreshing to hear Donald Trump say the things about these idiot politicians that we all want to say. No true conservative actually believes Liz Cheney is a conservative. No, but she's a war hawk. But what Trump was saying, it had nothing to do. He wasn't calling for the assassination. And Lord knows, I'm actually a fair arbiter. If he was calling for the assassination of somebody, I'd be all up in arms about it. A named texter says they have TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. Sure. Keith in Agricola enjoyed my discussions of the Brillo pad. Yeah, I mean, that's how dirty they must feel. They must feel. And T-Bone said, Tuberville said Shamari Figures was an Obama lookalike. Was that a dog whistle I heard? So as we're listening for, let's do that. I was going to get in some other story, but let's do that story right now. If you saw, John Sharp has a story up from yesterday. I think it's been reported a couple places, but it's, and I actually, one of the mailers in this story from John on the transgender agenda thing I have in my hand. So somebody here at work got that, and I've got a copy of it. I looked at this one. It took us a while to figure out what was actually happening, and it was putting the face of Kamala Harris over Shamari Figures. That's one of them there. But the other part, the dog whistle part, there's another flyer out there. I think Jeff was talking about it earlier. And it says here in the story, a mailer circulating the 2nd Congressional District paid for by the Alabama Republican Party that attacks Democrat candidate Shamari Figures on the issue of clemency. And so it's got the ad. Maybe you've seen this before. Maybe you can go check John's story out, or I can share this over on Twitter. So I looked at this when the story came out, or the pushback came out. And then I looked at it again this morning a couple times, called Dalton in. I said, try to make sure that I'm listening for the dog whistle, but I don't hear it. And it's a print piece here. Says Shamari Figures supports releasing dangerous criminals into Alabama streets like a revolving door. Now Alabama is in danger. And then it shows, like, right here says Brasaric Trammell, 2017, released by Figures Programs. 2023, arrested in Alabama for trafficking fentanyl and multiple additional charges. And it has a stamp on it that says arrested. Okay. The Broderick Trammell, and Broderick Trammell is a black guy. Okay, he's a black guy. In John's story, he said, the second mailer questions Figures' support of clemency initiatives leading to criminals reoffending includes a picture of a black man with the message, supports releasing dangerous criminals into Alabama streets like a revolving door. Now Alabama's in danger. Figures calls the mailer a racial dog whistle. Okay, that, and that's what I got, a racial dog whistle. He goes on to talk about, here's a quote. He said, Figures said, Alabama Republicans have been bad for health, bad for workers, bad for education, and bad on crime. They know they can't win on these issues, so they put out race-baiting ads with pictures of a scary black man and put out altered images of me and tell lies about my positions, end quote. A scary, you know why Broderick Trammell is scary to me, Shamari, we're looking at this picture? Because it's got his arrest record next to it. If it didn't show me that Broderick Trammell was arrested for these things, I wouldn't find it a scary picture. People that would be scared by that is the fact that he's trafficking fentanyl that's killing so many people, not because of what his skin color is. And I'm listening, not just hearing, I'm listening. And I, the dog whistle thing, here's how I feel about it, and I will be open to debate on this. But what happens to me with dog whistles, if I see something and I try to be a critical thinker, try to think on, you know, deeply on something, and I don't see whether listening to Trump talk about Liz Cheney or looking at this mailer, if I don't hear or see what you want me to hear or see, I must be deaf to the dog whistle, right? That this dog whistle's out there, but I just can't hear it. Maybe it's because it doesn't exist. Should they have? And I don't know why they picked who they picked in this ad, but should they have? I would probably imagine they're going to pick somebody that was released by programs that were sponsored by Shamari Figures, right? That would make sense because you're trying to tie the candidate to this. And then they found somebody who was rearrested in Alabama for trafficking fentanyl. He happens to be a black dude. Talk about this all the time. I live in 2024. I am very aware and make no excuses for the sins of the past. But that was the past. I don't live in that world. So to be told that something's a dog whistle and maybe my hearing's just bad because I can't hear it, I'm over it. I'm over it. Instead of coming out and saying, well, actually, we had this program and I wasn't responsible for this guy getting out and I'm not responsible. And, you know, give me some facts of why Shamari Figures was not responsible for this guy being rearrested in Alabama. Okay, then that's a legitimate pushback. But to say it's a racial dog whistle because there's a black guy on the. So anything that's got a black guy on it that's negative, is that a dog whistle? If it's got a white guy on it, it's not. Do you go pick a white guy to, even though they picked the case they wanted to specifically because the person was released by, at least according to Alabama Republican Party, programs that were backed by Shamari Figures and then rearrested. Just going on. So we'll talk about this because we'll talk about this coming up next hour when Caroline Dobson joins us here. But I'm tired of being told that what I heard there from Trump meant that he wanted Liz Cheney to be assassinated. And then when I look at this picture on the flyer, I go, oh, it's the black guys. Maybe somebody has hearing way better than I do. I don't hear the dog whistle. I do not. All right, coming back, Erica Thomas joins us. I know I got a lot of texts to get to and your calls at 343-0106, but I'll keep listening. Yeah.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. First day of November here, and a lot to do going into this weekend. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, your chance coming up at some point during the program, your chance to win that $100 gift certificate to Mason Hills Farm. You get $100 worth of great meat from Mason Hills Farm. Get ready for a big football weekend or cooking out over the holidays, whatever. Your chance to win that coming up, courtesy of our buddy Joey Mason at Mason Hills Farm. That's sometime on this Friday edition of Midday Mobile. Now, without further ado, my friend Erica Thomas, and further ado, Erica Thomas from 1819 News. Hey, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Howdy. Couple things here. I get a story this week about the billboard that a group that I'm part of, Men United Against Violence, that we put up there at the split of Spring Hill and Moffitt. And I was out there today as well. We had a small rally, and we're going to do a bigger event coming up in the future. And with that sign, and the names that are on there are the names of children killed in Mobile that we could get in touch with the parents. We couldn't get in touch with all the parents because they're more than the names you all see on the sign. The parents we could get in touch with, and the parents that said it was okay to put their child's name on there, which is a tough thing for them to do. Since that went up, as of last night, we have a 15-year-old murdered in the city of Mobile. You know, we talked about it. It's honestly, the way this goes, it may need to be a digital billboard because we add names all the time. And this is, the reason we're pushing for this is I want people to see, and we have this social media program where y'all take a picture of the billboard. You can pull in the parking lot there so you can do it safely. Take a picture of the billboard and share it on social media because people remember the names of the dirt bags out there. They don't remember the names of innocent children killed in our city. So I really, and I'm going to come back to this next week and talk about it a good bit more. But I appreciate you doing that story, putting that picture up. Y'all can even share Erica's story to do that. So I know you also talked to my partner, a couple of my partners, but you talked to John Young as well about this.
Yeah, and I have been talking to him about Men United Against Violence, you know, since the beginning, really. He's just such an inspirational character. We all know that he really gained a lot of notoriety couple of years ago when Sierra Jackson was killed, and he came out and it was out of the police station in front of news cameras. He was very upset and just, you know, that was enough is enough kind of moment for him. And since then, he has really worked so hard to make sure that he can get up men that have family values like yourself, you know, really, really good, solid family men who have raised their children. He wants to use those type of men to be visible role models in the community and hopefully make a difference in Mobile's future, because he's one of those that sees this violence day in and day out. He, you know, feels like he understands where all this comes from, the cultural issues that young black men face. And he just wants to fight for them. And hopefully you guys are going to make a difference. And I just think to have John Young as kind of the leader of this whole thing, you really can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't. A great guy, a friend of mine, but a leader for sure. And this is, you know, we talk about the, you know, they're represented as members of Men United Against Violence, but there are people like John in our group that are police officers. And they're all about arrest of the bad guys and putting bad guys, you know, getting them into the system so the judicial branch can put them in prison. At the same time, if we don't change, what we're about is acknowledging that, but changing the culture, changing the value set. Because if you just arrest people, then the next person steps in the situation. We have to change what's in people's hearts, you know, and those children at, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, to what their morals are going forward, what they're, you know, what they're looking up to, what they're role modeling from, so they don't become a shooter of another black child down the road.
Yeah, you know, it really reminds me of when I lived up in Jefferson County, and they had some inner city school issues up there, obviously, in Birmingham, but also in Center Point, Alabama. It was a big crime area. It was just known for, you know, drive-by shootings. I remember at least once a week having to go to a shooting scene there. And one day I decided I would call and interview the principal there. His name is Van Phillips Sr. He's also a pastor at a local church. And he really got down and dirty with the truth about that cultural aspect. And he said a lot of times people are scared to speak out about it, but without acknowledging that cultural aspect, you're not going to get anywhere. People are scared they're going to be called racist, but really what's racist is not giving the attention to these issues and trying to help these young men. And it really does take a man in a household to make a big difference. I remember Van Phillips told me a lot of the children that he has issues with or had issues with over his 40 years in education were those kids who had multiple siblings and one mother at home. You know, they would come home from school, their mom would not be there. So these kids were raising themselves. They had homework to do, but they couldn't even sit down and read a book because their other siblings were so loud and distracting, or they were trying to take care of their siblings. They grow up like this day in and day out, and they do not get the nourishing that they need. They do not get the attention they need. They don't get the quiet time just to learn. And so they end up not doing well in school. And when they don't do well in school, you know, what do you have?
Yeah.
So it's really, really sad what's happening in these areas and in these communities where there is cultural issues. And I just think what Sergeant John Young and yourself are doing, I think it's very heroic.
We're just both Mobile guys that don't want to see children killed. I mean, it's not like some three-dimensional chess we're playing. We're saying, hey, these children are being killed. How are they being killed? You know, they're being killed by black men between 15 and 25 years old. Let's change something in the hearts of those men before they become, you know, 15 to 25-year-old men that are killing people. And it's not like every 15 to 25-year-old black man is shooting people, but the people shooting people and killing black children are 15 to 25-year-old black men. We need to change something. Yeah, we got to change something. And that's what we're trying to do. We'll talk more about that going forward. But I appreciate you doing the story about us. And y'all can read that over at 1819 News. And yeah, we're going to have an event coming up here in the next couple of weeks that I hope y'all will be able to come out to during the middle of the day. And you also write about this. You know, I began the show talking about maybe Alabama. You know, we dare defend our rights. Right, Erica? That's our motto.
Yeah, that's our motto.
Yeah. And you've got states like Arizona and Hawaii that don't observe daylight saving time at all, right? They keep their clocks the same the year round. Maybe instead of, so Tuberville's calling again, Senator Tuberville, for the Sunshine Protection Act. I think it was Rubio brought it up the first time, you know, changing so we don't go on standard time. We stay on, maybe we just need to have the legislature here statewide, forget the feds and just say, we refuse to comply. We're going to be like Arizona. We're going to be like Hawaii. And we just don't change our clocks this weekend.
And I have heard some Alabama lawmakers discuss this in the past. I just think it's kind of become something that's not as important as other issues that we're looking at. But to a lot of people, it's just very outdated. You know, they don't want to fall back. We don't want to have that dart so early. And I have to admit, I'm one of those.
Me too.
I wish we could stay on this time. I do have a harder time in the spring, springing forward. I'm not much of a morning person anyways, so when I lose an hour, I don't love that.
I think the lobby behind keeping it as it is, we should call them Big Morning. They're the people that want to get up too early, which I did for many years of my life. Although, you know, side note, I always felt like I was getting over on reality because I worked morning radio for so long that all the hours that would be dark when I was in the studio, I felt like I wasn't losing those later because I like to do stuff outside. So I was like, good, I'm inside working, doing radio when it's dark. And I'm not, you know, I'm not burning any daylight hours. I get to, you know, cash those in later in the day.
Yeah, well, in the fall, you know, especially like with farmers, that's kind of the myth about how this all started was they had to have more sunlight. But
you have the same amount of sunlight.
Get up at 4 a.m. anyway.
Well, you have the same amount of sunlight no matter what, no matter what we call the hour exactly. of the day. You have the same amount. And, you know, my mother, you know, came off, we farmed a bunch of stuff, my grandparents, but they were a dairy farm for a long time. Guess what? In the milking shed, y'all, we got lights. It's lit up in the barn of the milking shed. You can milk, you know, in the dark. So, I don't know. But for some reason, this thing is so popular with people, and politicians attach their names to it for popularity, but it never gets through.
Yeah, and Tommy Tuberville has been a repeat, I don't want to say offender because I think it's a good thing, but, you know, he's
supporter.
Done this, supporter, yes, a couple of times and tried to introduce this, but, yeah, it hasn't passed yet. We'll see. Now, the Alabama legislature in 2021 did pass that bill to make daylight saving time permanent, but what they say is that the federal government has to pass this federal legislation to allow that to take.
Well, how does Arizona do it? How does Hawaii do it?
I mean, I think it would be interesting to look into what they did different, you know. But just because somebody else did something doesn't make it legal or accurate or correct. So, I guess I know our people in Alabama have been hyper vigilant about looking to make sure they're doing things the right way. And so maybe that's it. Or maybe they're looking too hard at it, you know.
Well, I wonder,
and
you know,
we could actually do this the whole time.
I would wonder the politics of it. You know, sometimes people say, well, why does a state comply with the feds on this, that, or the other? I said, it's always money. You know, it's won't get, you know, highway money and these kind of things. I would like the political story to be, Alabama doesn't receive funds for X. Like, they don't get kids' school voucher money because they didn't comply with daylight saving time, you know, or standard yeah. time. I mean, that would be a great story. This state, like, the kids are sitting there. Maybe you get a great picture of them with nothing on their plates sitting there, and maybe the sun's setting behind them or, you know, rising, and be like, this is what they're doing to our kids.
Yeah, Mother Nature is going to come after the state if we do this, so... class action, Mother Nature lawsuit. No, I don't think that there's any, like, political agenda around this. Like, there are a lot of things. Because you're right, there's a lot of people who don't want to speak out against different things, especially when it comes to state agencies like ALDOT. I think that's the main one I've come mm-hmm. into conflict with the most. People will tell me off the record, we're not happy with this, but they won't go on the record and say things. Because they don't want to lose that money or that special, you know, road they're waiting on, or bridge, mm-hmm. I should say. And so, yeah, that is the thing usually. But I think this is something else. I just think they've, you know, had other things to worry about and haven't really pushed it or looked into it.
One last story of the slew of them you have up over at 1819 News. Give me this is interesting, the headline here. Birmingham and Spanish Fort lab owner pleads guilty to $20 million in COVID-19 test scheme. What's the scheme? I see kickbacks in this and scheme. What's the allegation here?
Yeah, so this guy, James Potter, he's from Florida, and he conspired to get money from Medicare. So he was billing Medicare for all these COVID tests that were not requested, by the way, by the beneficiaries to his lab company, and they were never received by those beneficiaries either. But it ended up being like a $20 million scheme, and he worked with this fella over in Florida who owned the place that he bought the test from, the COVID-19 test, and they kind of conspired together. They both pleaded guilty to this kickback statute, the violation of it, and this will be federal court, so it's very likely that these guys will go to prison. You know how those federal cases work.
Mm-hmm.
They are asking for leniency, We'll just see if that happens. But I mean, this is another example of how people use COVID and money for COVID to line their own pockets. And, you know, there was a lot of that. In many of these cases, you know, like the COVID Paycheck Protection Act violations, those aren't even being investigated for the most part. So
they're not cracking down on that. I thought they were. I thought that they said they're going to, you know, make sure that the people that defrauded the government are going to pay for it.
Well, the federal government, you know, there's federal cases and then there's state cases. So some of them are, but the majority of people that made up a business, you know, they're not getting in trouble for that. They're not giving that money back. I mean, I personally know people that I saw on the list when I looked it up myself, you know, and they hadn't, nothing's happened at all. So, but for this guy, that's not the case. He got busted.
You know, I was looking at something. This came up back when, I think it was when Mayorkas was saying, hey, we won't have the money to deal with the hurricane. FEMA won't have the money to deal with the aftermaths of the hurricanes. And we're looking through some charts here. And in September, in September of 2024, okay, FEMA's disaster relief fund monthly report revealed they spent $4 billion on COVID-19 aid. That's the line item in this Excel sheet. $4 billion on COVID-19 aid in September of 2024. Like last month or a month ago. It's still be going on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the purpose of that would be. That does sound a little extravagant. Especially when we have all of these other issues that need to be addressed. And, you know, it's interesting. They're asking for $4 billion for some of the disaster relief. Saw that. So that is an interesting number that they. What are they using this for?
Well, it's just a one line item. So it's COVID-19 aid. Who knows? All right. People could
I do know one person with COVID right now. He's actually a lawmaker in Baldwin County, but
have they gotten any of the $4 billion? Can you help me? Have they gotten $4 billion?
Yeah, I will see if he has been getting these kickbacks to have COVID.
I didn't enjoy it when I had it, but for, you know, I mean, they slide me $100,000. I'll go ahead and get it again.
Yeah, I've had it a couple of times allegedly, but
how much money did you get?
Zero. I had to pay money. I had to pay a lot of copays.
See, that stinks.
I had to pay medication. I don't pay for the COVID test. And I think right now you can get those online, but what's the point anymore, you know?
I don't know. $4 billion worth of points. If people were to read this story and more from you, Erica, how do they find you online?
Well, obviously you can go to 1819news.com and you can see not only my stories, but all the stories from all the incredible reporters that I work with. Including Jeff Poor, you know, who is also...
Never heard of him.
Yeah, some people have. I heard he was on the radio some, so... you can go to 1819news.com and check us out, subscribe, and we'd love to have you as a member to get some of our exclusive content. And at the end of all of our stories, we all list our email addresses. So you can go to our stories, click on those, and then you'll see our email addresses if you want to get in touch with us.
Thanks so much, Erica. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. There she goes, Erica Thomas, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:56, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. I'm going to give you the phone number slowly here, 343-0106. You could even dial it while I'm saying it, 343-0106, because right now I'm looking for caller number 6 at 343-0106 to win a $100 gift certificate from Mason Hills Farm. Caller number 6, good luck, 343-0106. Caller 6, the $100 gift certificate from my buddy Joey at Mason Hills Farm is yours, so good luck. All right, a few texts here. A named texter said, I'm a resident of Alabama. In 2022, I worked in Michigan for 4 months. They recently sent me a form to get an absentee ballot. It's interesting. I wonder how that plays out if when you do the form, you know, if you send it there. Keep me in the loop on that. That is interesting. King of all unnamed texture said, only dogs hear a dog whistle, just saying. Yeah, and I don't hear, and I do listen for it. I try to not be deaf to them. Bill said, would a 70-year-old white grandmother better represent the demographic of violent criminals? Well, let me put this in there. Would a 70-year-old black grandmother or black grandfather? No, it would not. But the idea that because that picture, that person was put in there, they're black, therefore it was some kind of dog whistle. I mean, I live in 2024. That's where I live. Kenny said, thank you so much, Sean, for speaking up for people like me that are tired of the racial divide and people throwing gas on the fire. Oh, you're welcome. Just doing what's in my heart, what's in my mind. And Martin says, about the time change, just split the difference and leave it. That 30 minutes should satisfy everyone. Now, that is what's called compromise, Martin. That's what our republic was about, right? It makes too much sense. They won't do it. Community Notes Wannabe said, when DST was introduced, states had the option of opting out before it went into effect. They never observed. They just didn't stop. And then Bill says, consider the young children that would have to go to school in the dark. Let them cast a vote. It'd be exciting. They go trick-or-treating in the dark. You go to school in the dark. It'd be fun. Okay, be right back.